you're going to use that opportunity to go and indoctrinate these kids with your street ghetto philosophy. Certain point, if you raise your level of income to the status of a rock star, then then you got to keep coming up with ways to maintain that status. I'm not even saying eat meat, but at least put some cereal in the milk. Come on. That's like taking 666, the mark of the beast, and redefining it like Biggie tried to do and saying, no, it means this or that. No, 666 is 666. You can call it holy 666, but it's still the mark of the beast. Convenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as preachers of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong.
We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
This is G. Craig Lewis here again with another True Church Perspective. And you can visit us here every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. You can catch us on your radio dial at Heaven 97 KHVN in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. That's 9:70 a.m. on your radio dial. Or you can visit us streaming live on the internet at true-church.org. It's a blessing and a privilege to be here once again to bring A True Church Perspective to you. And we just want to first thank all of the supporters of A True Church Perspective, EX Ministries. Thank you so much for supporting us as we try to deliver the truth of the word to you every week. We just thank you so much for your support. Your financial gifts are very needed, and I thank you, those of you that support the broadcast each month, so that we can keep bringing this to you. And we also have it available online where you can download all of these broadcasts free of charge, put them in your iPod, on your computer, wherever you want to listen. And it will definitely be a blessing to you. But you can do that on our website at true-church.org, and you can stream them live, or you can download them each week, and we try to bring you a new True Church Perspective every week. So we just want to say thank you to all of our listeners and supporters. And you know, it is not easy to come week after week to bring in the truth of the word. You know, a lot of people send us nasty emails and different things. They don't want to hear the truth, or they think that the truth is stopping their fun or messing with them or some kind of way. You know, we're hurting their fun, or we're hurting their extracurricular activity by preaching truth. You know, they do what they want to do, and people get into what they want to get into, and they want to believe that their way is right. The Bible said that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of that is sin. And the Bible is letting us know, and we talked about it last week, that people think that their way is right. And a lot of times when you do wrong long enough, you'll begin to try to fix the wrong way right in your own mind, just to ease your own conscience. You'll start trying to get scriptures and trying to find pastors that'll agree with you. You know, the Bible said that people in the last days would heap up on themselves teachers having itching ears. So that means that they're going to select people that are going to preach what they want preached, that are going to say what they want said, so that they can do what they want to do. But we want to believe that the truth of the gospel is what we should all strive to live by. It is the truth of the word. We want to be pleasing unto God. Why would you serve God and not want to be pleasing unto him? Why would you make Jesus your Lord and not want to serve him? He said, if you love me, you need to do what? Keep my commandments, his commandments. That's how you show your love. So we can sing about it and talk about it all day long, but if we're going to really show our love for Jesus Christ, we're going to have to live by his statutes and his commands. That's kind of what we want to talk about today. I want to really talk about, which side are you really on? You know, sometimes we give our lives to the Lord. We come to church, we get saved, and we're on fire for God. But then 10 years later, the heat has been turned down a little bit, and we're kind of comfortable in our own skin, and we worked out our own soul salvation to where, you know, we can do some of the things that we used to couldn't do and not feel so bad about it. We can enter sin into our lives a little bit, not feel so bad. And a lot of times you look up after you've done so much of that and you really begin to question which side you are on. But let something happen. Let something go wrong in your life. Let someone get laid off their job, or let someone get a divorce or go through a divorce or spousal abuse or something, or let someone fall into sin. I mean, some heavy sin or something, or let someone get sick and really down on your health and different things. If you're not secure in what you believe, you'll begin in those moments to question what side you are really on. And if you haven't planted your feet in a firm foundation, you know, we've been talking about walking out deliverance. If you aren't walking out deliverance and understanding what it really means to live for God, then when you are faced with a great test in your life, sometimes you'll begin to wonder, is this thing about God, is this Bible, are all these things really real? So we have to make sure that we continue to put God in a place in our lives so that we won't question which side we're on. But I want to kind of deal with that today, and we're going to take that from 2 Corinthians 13:5, and we're going to use that text to kind of broaden this discussion. Let's start at 13:5 of 2 Corinthians. It says, examine yourselves to see if your faith is really genuine. Test yourselves. If you cannot tell that Jesus Christ is among you, it means you have failed the test. I hope you recognize that we have passed the test and are approved by God. Then Paul says, we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong. We pray this not to show that our ministry to you has been successful, but because we want you to do right, even if we ourselves seem to have failed. Our responsibility is never to oppose the truth, but to stand for the truth at all times. We are glad to be weak if you are really strong. And what we pray for is your restoration to maturity. I'm writing this to you before I come, hoping that I won't need to deal harshly with you when I come, for I want to use the authority the Lord has given me to build you up, not tear you down. Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these words. Rejoice. Change your ways, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace, then the God of love and peace will be with you. These are some very powerful words from Paul to the church at Corinth. And he is speaking very candidly here. And, you know, Paul got the reputation of being perfect, and people thought he was a perfectionist, and they thought he thought himself better than others and different things back then, only because Paul preached the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, a lot of us are faced with that. I'm faced with that. I talked about it a little last week, where people think because we are, you know, exposing certain things, or because we preach hardcore gospel truth and we preach it uncut and we don't try to tickle people's fancies or try to get their money or try to lure them in by softening up the gospel. We just preach it the way it's written, and people automatically assume you're judging or you're too harsh or you think you're perfect. And they don't understand, we preach a perfect gospel, not because we're perfect individuals, but because we believe that the perfection in the word is something that is attainable to us, or that we want to attain. So we want to live the best life that we can live, but we want to preach the gospel of Jesus perfect, because it is perfect, because God's gospel is perfect. Jesus lived a perfect life. So when we're preaching about Jesus, when we're preaching about how he was, there is perfection there. So people need to lay off of this thing, but they were doing the same thing with Paul, trying to accuse him of that. And Paul is stating right here in this, he's saying, I'm praying that you don't do anything wrong. He says, I'm praying that you live like you're supposed to live. He said, but even if you make us look bad by living better than us, glory be to God. And that's what Paul's attitude was. He's basically saying, this isn't just so I can live better or I can look good in the eyes of men. This is so that we can all come to a maturity level in Christ. That's why he said in 13:9, we are glad to be weak if you are really strong. What we pray for is your restoration to maturity. And that's what this is all about. How mature are you as a believer? Are you a true believer? Can you stand the test of time? The Bible says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Can you endure to the end? Listen, people, there are tough times ahead for all of us. There are tough times coming. We as Christians are being persecuted persecuted for standing up for truth and righteousness. And when you stand up for the truth, persecution and tribulation is going to come. Are you going to be able to stand the test of time? If they tell you you can't confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, are you going to be able to make it? So I want to help you understand which side you are really on. Are you on the Lord's side? We can say it all day long, but we got to test ourselves. And that's what Paul said in 13 and 5. He said, examine yourselves to see if your faith is really genuine. He said, test yourselves. If you cannot tell that Jesus is among you, it means you have failed the test. What is he saying right there? Well, let me give you some ways to examine your own walk. And the Bible said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So we are to examine our walk. And here are some things. I'm going to give you these three things that's going to help you examine your walk to see, are you really walking with Christ, or are you walking just because this is the way you've been taught to walk all these years? Are you really walking with him? The first way that you need to examine yourself, you need to ask yourself this: does the truth upset you? Are you upset when you hear the truth preached uncut? When you hear some of the things we preach on this broadcast, when you read 1st and 2nd Peter, when you hear preachers that preach the truth uncut, does it upset you? In other words, does it anger you? Does it make you feel like someone is judging you? Or does it hurt you to the point to where you don't want to hear it anymore? That is something you really need to search out in your own heart to find out what side you are really on. Because if you're really on God's side, then there has to be a love for the truth that is down in you. There has to be a love for the truth in you. You know, even when the truth hurts, understand the Bible is a two-edged sword. It cuts on both sides. It hurts all of us sometimes. When I'm preaching or when I'm studying different things, there are certain things in me that God has to work out. And it hurts me to say certain things because I know I need to work on that. But that doesn't mean I need to not preach it or not hear it. That just means I need to fix myself. I don't change the word. I'm the one that needs to change. So the truth, even if it bothers you a little bit because it's going against you, you still have to have a love for it to say, you know what, Lord, you got me. I'm the one that needs to change. So I don't need to get around a bunch of untruth. I need to let the truth change me. So that's something you need to ask yourself. Does the truth upset you? Does it upset you to the point to where you turn it off and would rather turn on somebody else that's not preaching the whole truth? That's the first way you need to examine yourself. The second thing you can use to examine yourself is to ask yourself this question: is God in your way? Are the things you really want to do blocked by the fact that you are saved? Would you rather live in sin with a free pass to heaven or live holy? Which one is it? Are you really trying to live a life that is pleasing unto God? Are you really trying to live holy? Or would you rather live in sin and find somebody that can preach once saved, always saved, so you can do your thing and do what you want to do? That's a good question to ask yourself. Is God in your way? Is he stopping your fun? All you really want to do, you know, when you get out of church, if you want to go party and club and get drunk and do all those things, if you want to be a part of secret societies and organizations that takes pledges to false gods and different things, if you want to just use drugs, if you want to be sexually promiscuous and different things and still stamp Jesus on it, if those are the things you want to do, you really need to check and see if what side you are really on. That would mean that God is actually in your way, stopping your fun. Now listen, please listen. When I talk about this, please understand that, yeah, our flesh sometimes wants to do the wrong thing. Don't get me wrong. Our flesh a lot of times wars with our spirit according to the word of God. So we want to do the wrong thing sometimes. But I'm saying if everything you want to do is the wrong thing and you don't like the things of God, you don't like it, you know, it just kind of cramps your style. You know, you don't want to be around really saved folks. You want an unsaved boyfriend or unsaved girlfriend, or you want to be on websites and different things that are destructive and sinful. And if that's all you want to do all the time, but then you want to go to church on Sunday so you can get a free pass into heaven, you really need to check yourself, because something is wrong with your salvation. Something is wrong with the way you're perceiving how salvation works. You really might be on the wrong side. And the third thing you can use to examine yourself to see which side you are on, ask yourself this question: is church a formality or a desire? Do you go to church and do Christian stuff because you're supposed to? Is reading the Bible, praying, etc., a chore? Or are you just doing these things because you're supposed to, because that's what saved folks do? You need to check that out, really. If reading the Bible is a turnoff to you, and if praying is just, you know, the only time you pray is after you do something wrong, the only time you talk to God is when you're trying to get forgiveness, you need to check yourself to see which side you are really on. Because if church is just a formality and something you do because you want a free pass into heaven, it's just something you do because grandmama taught you how to do it, mama taught you how to do it. If it's just something you do, you go into church and the church is just like the club, there's no God in the church, ain't nobody living right, ain't nobody trying to be right. If these things are going on in the church that you go to and you enjoy that, you really need to check and see what side you are on. If you wake up with a burning desire to seek God and to pray and to learn more of God and to read his word, and you know this grows in you more and more, and when you face with a problem or a situation, the first thing comes to mind is what God said in his word and those kinds of things, then yeah, those things mean that, hey, I'm on the Lord's side. That means God is Lord. Jesus is Lord of my life, every area of my life, deep down within me. But if I only want to use him as a pass, if I only want to go to church because I'm supposed to, because I have to usher this Sunday, or I have to, you know, I have to stand in the offering line, and Lord, you're dragging out of bed, and you're just going because you got a position there, and people can see you, and you look good in your white hat, or you look good with your white gloves, and all those kinds of things. So you're just going for, if you're going for any of those reasons, you really need to check your salvation and see whose side you are really on. Listen, people, it is not optional. We have to choose a side. We have to choose a side. We have to choose a position. As a believer, our position is God's position. As a believer, our side is the Lord's side. Listen, there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You can't rest in inclusion and other doctrines if you are going to truly be about what Christ is about and what the word is about. You have to choose a side. So Paul said it right there in 13 and 5 of 2 Corinthians. Examine yourself. See if your faith is really genuine. See if you are really in this thing. And listen, y'all, we have to all do this. We need to always examine ourselves. When we find ourselves getting too carnal, we find ourselves getting too worldly, we find ourselves watching too many movies with sex scenes and a bunch of cussing and drug usage and stuff, and when this becomes too normal for us and it doesn't bother us anymore, we need to examine ourselves and see if the enemy has pushed our boundaries a little too much, if he has pushed us in the way of sin just a little too much. We need to make sure that we are on God's side, wholeheartedly living by his word, reading, praying, and believing his word to be the only inspired and infallible word of God. Listen, believers, let's go down into this passage with 2 Corinthians, and let's go down to chapter 13, verse 11. Paul is ending this particular chapter, and he ends it by saying, "Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these last words." What these last words are? These are the last words to help you choose a side. These last words will help you stay strong on the side of Christ when you have chosen Christ to be the side that you want to be on. What does he say? He says, rejoice, change your ways, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace, and then the God of love and peace will be with you. So not just you saying you are with him, but God will be with you if you do these things. The first thing he says is what? Rejoice. Now listen, rejoicing is very important. It is very important. This is praising God openly, and this cements your confession. When you openly praise God, and I mean give God a real praise from your heart, when you're in church or when you're at home, wherever you are, and you are really praising God, it is really good for your soul to give God his props. It is really good for you to let the world know and the devil know who it is that you are excited about. So you're going to rejoice. You're going to praise God openly. This is going to cement your confession and make it real. It bothers me sometimes when I'm at church or I'm around other people maybe, and we're praising God, we're giving God praise, and maybe I'm speaking and I ask people, why don't you give God praise? Why don't you just tell him how much you love him or different things? And you see certain people that can't do it. They just stand there, you know, with their hands folded, or they just stand and they're looking around. And there is something to that. You know, I always wondered. It's not that they don't want to do it. It's just that they're not there in Christ. There is a question in their mind on the side that they are really on. Because if you are really on the Lord's side and you know God is with you, when someone asks you that or when someone leads you into praise and worship, you just begin to go forth right into him because you know that you can connect with him. But when you don't know that you can connect, when you're not sure that you can connect, a lot of times you'll be reserved. And that is why Paul said, rejoice. It's very important. Psalms 111 and 1 says, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. What is David saying? David is saying in front of everybody, the assembly of the upright and in the congregation, I'm going to praise the Lord with my whole heart. Why? Because I belong to him and he belongs to me. Very important. Rejoice. The second thing Paul says, change your ways. Now listen, people of God, if we're going to really live for God, we got to change. We have to change our ways. You know you can't stay the same way you were before you accepted Christ and expect Christ to be with you. No, you have to change. If any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creation. Old things are passed away. All things become new. There has to be a change. Listen, I know that sounds elementary. I know that is fundamental. I know that is the underlying bottom line, period, is change. The reason we come to Christ is for the change. We come to him for the change because he's the only one that can take the old man that we used to be and remake us. He's the potter and we are the clay. He can make us over, totally over, and make us new. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 22 says, abstain from what? All appearance of evil. So if you are a born again believer, that means that you have to develop a hate for evil. Even when your flesh wants to do the wrong thing, listen to me, people. There are going to be times when you get the can't help it. And, you know, times when you fall and you get into trouble. But you have to know that that is not the state that you can remain in. You have to know that if Jesus has truly set us free from sin, we cannot walk any longer therein. That means we can't practice that lifestyle. So we have to change our ways. The things that disagree with the gospel of Jesus, you must stop doing. The things that conflict with your confession, you must put away. Do you hear what I'm saying? You have to choose right then. If you're going to choose a side, you got to change your ways. And the third thing Paul says, which I love in this particular passage, he says, rejoice, change your ways. And then he says, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace. What is he saying right here? Well, we know we can't get along with everybody, especially people that don't want the truth of the word, especially people that don't want to live right, people that don't want to be right. They just don't want to do right. So we have to make sure that we encourage each other. I know that we can't get along with everybody, and people that don't want to live right or do right, there can't be harmony and peace with those people because, you know, they want to do their own thing. That is not what Paul is talking about here. Paul is saying encourage each other and live in harmony and peace, meaning surround yourself with those that want to do the right thing. Paul is saying live in peace and harmony together. In other words, you come together with those that want to live like the word says, those that want to follow God's ordinances and his commands. And though we might err and make mistakes in different things, we still need to surround ourselves with a group of people that's going to support the lifestyle that we have chosen. So he's saying encourage each other, get folks around you that support your confession and your walk in your convictions. You know, they walk in the same convictions. Get around people that are gonna speak blessings over you and encourage you to do the right thing, even when you fall. And when they fall, they come to you and you encourage them. This is what he's saying. Encourage each other so you can live in harmony and peace. You know, don't go hide from your accountability. Listen, people, when you've selected someone to be in your life to hold you accountable when you make mistakes and errors, you know, don't go hide from them, but you use them, utilize them, bring it to them when you have a struggle, when you have an issue. Bring it to them. This is what Paul is saying. Encourage each other and live in harmony and peace. Psalms 1 and 1, very powerful passage. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So David is saying right here, blessed is the man that doesn't choose a bunch of ungodly folks to be around. Blessed is the man that knows when it's time to leave. You know when it's time, hey, y'all are doing some stuff, I can't get with you, I'm going to have to leave. You know, you have to understand it. I know people say all the time, well, Jesus ate with the sinners and he was there. But you don't, they don't even read carefully into that. The sinners came to be with Jesus. That means that they left their sin to come be with him. Why? Because he had the answer for why they even desired sin. He had the answer that could get them out of sin. You know, people don't want to be drunks. People don't want to be drug addicts. People don't want to be hypocrites. They don't want to be these things. There's something going on and they need help. Whose help do they need? They need God's help. And a lot of time God puts us in people's lives to be their help. And that's why Paul is saying, encourage each other so you can live in harmony and peace, so we can come together and we can make things right one with another. This is what he's saying. So he says, rejoice, meaning praise God openly and cement your confession in public. Let the world know whose side you are on. And he says, change your ways. So when you're not praising the Lord, people know what side you're on by the way you behave and the way you carry yourself and live your life. And then finally, he says, encourage each other, meaning get a supporting cast, get some support around you. So when you're ready to do right, you want to live right, you got some people that will support your conviction and your confession. And then finally, Paul says, then after these things, the God of love and peace will be with you. Oh, that is so powerful. I love this particular passage. And Paul laid it out very plain and simple for us all. He says, then at that point, when you do those things, God will be with you. So not just you being with God, but God being with you and you actually choosing which side you are on. I hope this lesson has been a blessing to you, because it is very important in this last day for us to understand that a choice has to be made. The choice has to be made. You can't teeter-totter. You can't sit on both sides. You can't straddle the fence. No, this current government's not going to let you do that. The LGBT's not going to let you do that. The ACLU's not going to let you do that. Don't you know they're coming after the church and they're going to force you in a corner and you're going to have to come out with your confession or no confession at all, because they're not going to let you slide anymore, but you're going to have to state and let the world know, I'm on the Lord's side and Jesus Christ is the only way, and that is the way that I choose. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for this lesson. I believe it was a blessing to many, God. I thank you, Lord, because the time has come when it's time for us to make a stand, God. It's time for us to make a stand for you and let the world know who we're standing for. God, we have to let everyone know that it's time out for games and it's time out for playing, and we have to stand strong in our confession and our conviction in this last hour. So God, I believe this message will help many. God, it'll help us to stand strong in this last hour. It'll help us to choose a side, God, not just with our mouths, but God, with our hearts and our minds and our actions, God. And Lord, I just thank you, God, because I believe, Lord, that you want us to make it known publicly who we are with, God, in this hour, so that when you return, God, you will take us up with you and we'll be forever with you, God, because of what we're confessing right now. So I pray for everyone that heard this message, that want to do these things, God. They want to rejoice, Father God. They want to rejoice and openly confess you, God. They want to change their ways, Lord. And then they want to encourage each other, God, so that you will be with us, God. Not just us claiming you, but God, so that you will claim us, write our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, God, and announce our name at the end as we stand before you in judgment with a smiling face, God. You chose us, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And we'll be back next week with another True Church Perspective.
You've been listening to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis. Visit us at truth-church.org or at exministries.com. If you desire to support this ministry with your donations, please send them to P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124, or donate online at truth-church.org.